Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Collins Foods Limited Full Year 2016 Results Conference Call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to your first speaker today, Mr. Graham Maxwell, Managing Director and CEO. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Gemma. Good morning, guys. With me on the call, I have Nigel Williams, our CFO. I am very pleased to be able to take you through the results for Collins Foods Limited for the full financial year, which was a 52-week period to the 1st of May 2016. The 2016 financial year was overall a good one for Collins Foods, with revenue and profit growth, good cash flow, a lower net debt position, and further improvement of return on capital employed. Revenue was up 0.5% from 571 million to 574 million. The comparison revenue number for last year was a 53-week year. When you exclude the impact of the extra week last year, revenue was up 2.4%. This was due to good comp sales growth and the addition of six new restaurants across our KFC network. EBITDA was up 10.7% on an underlying basis from 67.4 million to 74.6 million, reflecting good flow-through of the extra revenue and good management of cost lines. Underlying NPAT was 30.1 million, up 22.3% on prior year, and return on capital employed rose from 12.9% to 14.9%. Net cash flow was 10.3 million, enabling us to pay down borrowings and bring net debt to 112.5 million compared to the 122.8 million we had a year ago. The net leverage ratio has reduced to 1.52 from 1.83 prior year. Basic earnings per share was 0.323 on an underlying basis, up 22.3% on prior year. A fully franked final dividend of 0.08 per share will be paid. This brings the total FY 2016 fully franked dividend to 0.14 per share, up 21.7% on prior year. There were a couple of significant items within the results that I wanted to call out separately and explain. These were all in relation to the Sizzler Australia business. Within the EBITDA line, there were impairments to Smallways across a number of restaurants of 700,000 dollars, an onerous lease provision on one restaurant of 1.3 million, and a gain on the sale of a restaurant property of 1.7 million. The impairment and onerous lease added together less the gain on the sale of the property amounted to 200,000 dollars. The impairment charge is a non-cash item. Within the EBITDA line, you have the same items just mentioned, plus an impairment charge on the property, plants, and equipment of a number of restaurants equating to 1.3 million. Overall, this gives us a total impact on EBIT level of 1.6 million, and the post-tax effect at NPAT is 900,000 dollars. Notwithstanding these significant items, these results continue the momentum we have in the overall Collins business. I'd now like to take you through the operational highlights of the three brands. The KFC business had another very good year. Total revenue was up 3.8%, reflecting the extra sales from six new builds and strong same-store sales across the KFC system of 3.1%. Excluding the extra trading week in FY 2015, revenue was up 5.6%. The KFC business now has revenues of greater than 500 million, a notable milestone. This revenue growth has been converted into strong overall margin growth at EBITDA level due to good controls on key efficiency measures such as labor and waste. The understanding and processes associated with tighter control seen in the Queensland business has been embedded in the restaurants we acquired in Western Australia and Northern Territory 2 years ago, with the performance of this part of the business continuing to improve. We also announced recently the purchase of 13 KFC stores in the New South Wales-Victoria border region. We believe that we'll be able to bring some synergies to these restaurants from the Collins system and use this foothold to expand further into these states. Sizzler Australia experienced another challenging year, with same-store sales down 11.4%. As had previously been indicated, we no longer consider this core to our strategic growth, and we do not allocate any growth capital to this business unit. We closed four restaurants in FY16, and a further restaurant has closed since the year end. The restaurant count as of today is 21. Despite the decline in sales, Sizzler Australia generated a positive EBITDA in FY16 and is expected to remain EBITDA positive in FY17. Sizzler Asia continues to grow and had a very good year. Our franchise partners opened six new restaurants and our royalty revenue was up 14.5% on prior year. A further six new restaurants are expected to open across Thailand and China in FY17. Snacks and continues to make steady progress as we work on growing the brand and improving the operational efficiency of the existing model. The newer format stands are achieving positive results and the overall business is EBITDA positive at stand level. Since the year end, we purchased the remaining 50% of the share capital of Snacks Stand for a nominal sum. We now have full ownership and going forward, the management of Snacks Stand will be fully under the guidance of Collins Foods. Now looking into each of the brands in a bit more detail, starting with KFC on page 4. KFC had a very good year, with revenue and profits both up on the prior year. Total revenue was up 3.8% to $501.8 million. Excluding the extra trading week in FY16, revenue was up 5.6%. This year, we are showing two same-store sale numbers to enable easier comparison to the way that Yum calculates this metrics. The difference between these two is that the Collins methodology excludes stores that have been reopened post-refurbishment until 15 months after reopening, while Yum only excludes stores during the downtime. So for us, same-store sales grew by 3.1% during the year using the Collins methodology. Using the Yum methodology gives an equivalent figure of 3.4%. Within the year, comp momentum slowed in the second half of the year as we came up against some very hard comps from the prior year. In the 8 weeks of trading post the year, KFC is marginally below prior year on a like-for-like basis. Having to roll high comps in the early part of the year has given us a challenging start to the year. However, we anticipate a return to positive like-for-like sales over the coming months. KFC EBITDA grew by 10.1% from $74.4 million to $81.9 million, and overall margins across a combined KFC system improved from 15.4% to 16.3%. This is a result of an ongoing focus on margin discipline across all stores. A total of six new restaurants were built and 20 restaurants underwent a major remodel. The total KFC restaurant count now stands at 178, with 133 in Queensland and 45 in Western Australia and Northern Territory. EBIT was on an underlying basis, was up on an underlying basis from 57.2 million to 63.6 million, an increase of 11.2%. Overall, the performance of the KFC restaurants in Western Australia and the Northern Territory has been very pleasing, and we continue to see opportunity for growth in these regions. The KFC business continues to generate new product ideas and innovate around its core range. This combined with great value offers keeps customers coming back. During the year, innovative new products were introduced such as the Zinger Black and the Zinger Taco, and new packaging ideas like the Go Bucket. These products not only provide great reasons for our customers to visit, but also showcase a brand and keep brand perceptions high. Great values such as the $9 for $9.95 offer and $1 chips always feature highly and remain important drivers of traffic to our restaurants. These deals are well targeted to avoid compromising the core business. Box meals and family meals continue to go from strength to strength, particularly with the addition of the new original tenders box to the range. The hashtag HCG Summer Cricket campaign was again a strong campaign for us, both from a product promotion perspective as well as brand building. New attendance records were sent and viewing figures were very strong, enabling our restaurants to benefit from the greater brand awareness. This continues to be reinforced in the social media world where our customers are increasingly living their lives. Our remodeled and new restaurant program continues to drive growth. A total of six new restaurants were built and 20 major remodels were completed for a capital spend of approximately $26 million. Of the six new restaurants, three were built in Queensland, Toowoomba East, Warner and Meadowbrook, the two latter in Brisbane, with 10 of the major remodels. In Western Australia, Northern Territory, we built three new restaurants. All three of them were in the Perth city of Butler, Baldarvis and Harrisdale, and took a further 10 remodels in Western Australia as well. These new restaurants are all tracking positively to internal capital return hurdles. And we're also very pleased with the sales uplift seen on the 20 major remodels across Queensland and WA, particularly where we can unlock new capacity via better drive-through configurations. Full-year CapEx for KFC was approximately $30 million, in line with prior year spend. Operational execution remains a key driver of ongoing success. Creating a quick and efficient drive-through experience for over half of our customers is central to operational focus. Contemporary restaurant design coupled with easier front counter flow and digital menu boards further enhances the customer's experience. We recently announced an agreement to acquire 13 KFC restaurants located around the New South Wales and Victorian border. This provides us with growth opportunities in these states and will take the number of KFC restaurants up to 191. Collins Foods will pay $25.5 million for the acquisition plus costs. At the time of entering the agreement, the trailing EBITDA pre-synergies was $4.3 million on sales of $32.3 million. We expect completion towards the end of July. Moving our attention to Sizzler on page 10, as mentioned earlier, Sizzler Australia has had a tough year on the top line, with total revenue down by 17.9% from 85.5 to 72.6 million, and same-store sales in Sizzler Australia down 11.4%. However, despite the sales shortfall, the ongoing focus on cost management has enabled margins and underlying EBITDA to be held to a similar level to prior year. Certain restaurants did need to be impaired for accounting purposes and a provision was made for an onerous lease on one restaurant. Together, these significant items total to $2 million at EBITDA level and $3.3 million at EBIT level. Four restaurants closed during the year and one more has closed since the year end. The restaurant count is currently 21. We will continue to monitor our restaurants closely and take appropriate action where necessary. Sizzler Australia is expected to generate positive EBITDA in FY17. We are still committed to finding the best outcome for Sizzler Australia. It is important that we stay focused on our customers and employees to ensure that during this time we create a positive environment and maximise the earnings of the restaurants. Sizzler Asia continues to produce good earnings growth and cash. Royalty revenues for the year were up 14.5% thanks to good growth at restaurant level and the addition of five new restaurants in Thailand and one in Japan. We expect to open six new restaurants in FY17, mainly in Thailand. Turning to Snag Stand, this business continues to make steady progress and shows positive signs for the future. Our current focus is on evolving the look and feel of the concept and improving the operational efficiency of the existing model. The new format stand at Pacific Fair on the Gold Coast is trading well and better reflects the future of the brand. You can see that reflective in the pictures associated on the page with Snag Stand. As previously mentioned, since the year end, we have purchased the remaining 50% of share capital of Snag Stand for a nominal sum. With full control, we will look to speed up progress and improve the economic model and brand identity. I'll now hand you over to Nigel to take you through the financials.
Thanks, Graham. Collins Foods continues to generate strong cash flows that are supporting a healthy balance sheet. Net operating cash flow before interest, tax and working capital was up to $72.9 million from $67.8 million prior year, reflecting the EBITDA improvement referred to earlier. The negative working capital was the result of the 53-week year in FY15, which tipped an extra Yum royalty payment of $4.5 million into FY16. This will be recovered in future years. Income tax payments are $0.6 million lower than prior year due to the timing of tax instalments paid as we move from quarterly to monthly instalments. FY15 included the equivalent of 15 four-weekly period payments. FY16 includes just 13 four-weekly payments. capital cash spend is down year on year by $4.9 million at $27.6 million. However, including accruals for capital activity and the resulting invoices received late on in FY16, this amount is very similar to prior year. We also benefited to the tune of $3.2 million from the cash proceeds of selling one of our Sizzler properties. Overall net cash flow was $10.3 million for the reporting period. Net debt is down $10.3 million to $112.5 million, with the net leverage ratio down from 1.83 to 1.52. We are pleased that we've been able to continue to pay down debt during the year and have a net leverage ratio very close to 1.5. We operate well within our covenant headroom. Our current revolving syndicated credit facility is $200 million, of which only $165 million is drawn. Return on capital employed is up 2 points to 14.9%. This is a further improvement over prior years, driven primarily by the strong improvement in the underlying EBIT. Looking at the balance sheet, the higher cash balance means that the net debt position is down as referred to earlier. Property, plant and equipment is up $8.5 million, reflecting the continued investment in new and remodeled stores, partially offset by depreciation and the impairment charges. Total current liabilities are up to $1.8 million due to the increased capital accruals mitigated by slightly lower trade payables. Total net assets are up from $171.3 million to $189.7 million due to the improved NPAT. Now back to Graham.
So just finally a few words on FY17. The plan for KFC is to focus on top line growth, to continue the disciplined approach to operational management to maintain margins in Queensland, and to look to unlock further margin opportunities in Western Australia and Northern Territory. We will be looking to add between 7 and 8 new KFC restaurants during the year. On completion, we will embed the 13 KFC restaurants into the Collins Foods network, which will be towards the end of July, and we will continue to evaluate further acquisition opportunities. In regards to Snag Stand, we will embed control and continue to refine its brand positioning. Sizzler Asia will continue to grow with plans for several new restaurants opening across Thailand and China. Capital investment for FY17 is expected to be at a similar level to FY16, and the board notes that future dividend payments will include NPAT from its Western Australian and Northern Territory restaurants. We'll now open up the call for questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Owen Humphries with Canaccord Genuity. Please go ahead.
G'day guys, can you hear me?
I can, yes. Yep. Thanks, Owen.
Congratulations again. It's been a great couple of years for you guys. I've got a couple of questions, and I might just start with, I understand you're cycling pretty tough comps in the second half. Were there any price rises throughout the network in the second half?
The second half of last year, no, there weren't. I think the, or it might have been right at the beginning just before Christmas, but it was less than 0.5% that came through.
Right, okay. So most of the growth in the KFC was basically traffic growth that we saw there.
Very pleasing it is. Yeah, so it's, it really has been on the back of traffic, and specifically in our food courts.
Right, okay, good one. And I suppose you guys have got the balance sheet now in position to make some acquisitions, and back of the envelope says you've got, you know, $60 or $70 million of capacity to go out and make those acquisitions. And you've been talking about them for a couple of years now. Have you been able to find anything, or have you been close to buying in the past, or do you have any ongoing discussions around diversifying your range out of KFC, or is it still not a core initiative at the moment?
Yeah, look, there's two parts to it. One is in terms of what we're trying to do within KFC, and certainly we've spoken about ongoing conversations, and hence the 13 KFC stores coming to fruition. In terms of diversifying out of the KFC business, we are constantly looking at what opportunities exist out of there. We are quite measured in our approach, and we need to make sure that whatever it is complementary to the business. So certainly not in a rush.
Right, so nothing in the next 6 months, I suppose. And just lastly, with the margin of the acquired businesses out of on the border, can you maybe talk about is it possible to get the margins to similar levels to Queensland? Is that a possibility, or is it just the cycling 13% margins? Is it just tough given the location to get it to 15% or 16% or 17%?
Yeah, the Queensland does have slightly higher margins than the majority of other KFC businesses. There's a couple of things in there besides really good operational management, and that's that we do have a slightly different price compared to some of the other markets. The New South Wales, Victorian KFCs will fit in with the broader pricing structure through those two states, and hence will probably just cap it slightly lower than Queensland.
Right, okay. And in terms of the last question, just in terms of your technology initiatives, are you rolling out anything that's quite exciting? I know Yum's been rolling out some of their initiatives. Are you following that? And is there anything there that's worth noting?
Yes, I mean we certainly have been pretty active in terms of rolling out digital menu boards in the front of house. In conjunction with that, we are working on an online ordering app. You would have noticed that Yum has a number of them across the broader country. We're just doing some work. We have a different point of sale system to them, so we're just doing some work in terms of the integration of the app into our point of sale system, and we'll be looking to sort of roll that out and the back end of the year.
Great. Thanks, guys. Well done.
Thanks, Owen.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Tim Plum with UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Just a couple of questions from me. Just in terms of the major refurb profile over the next couple of years, could you give us a bit of a sense of what we should be expecting over the next kind of 2 to 3 years? I mean, given that you start cycling some kind of easier comps when you're looking at it on a 10-year basis, does that start to trend down?
In terms of remodels, we're on a five-year cycle. So the first 5 year we do a minor, the next 5 year, which effectively is 10 years, we do a major, and then a 15 and 20. So it constantly cycles through. I think the difference that we will see is that we've had a bit of catch-up capex, both in terms of Queensland and Western Australia. We have now cycled the 5 years in terms of Queensland. So while we will still be doing the same number of majors, we should see it at a slightly reduced capex spend. While in Western Australia, we're probably 60% of the way through the remodel program.
Great. And just a last question from me. In terms of chicken prices, I mean, it makes up a fairly large component of your COGS. From the research that I've done, it shows that chicken prices are down overall. Can you talk to us in terms of when you roll over onto your new contract and how negotiations or market prices are going at the moment?
So we have chicken pricing locked into February 2017, and the guys are in the process of renegotiating at the moment.
Great. And pricing relative to the last time that you locked in those prices?
Yeah, we would expect pricing to be relatively flat year on year with the new contract.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from Mark Topy with Select Equities. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Graeme. Just firstly, a question just on the competitive plane in terms of what's happening out the marketplace, whether you've seen any impact perhaps from any particular competitors trying to look perhaps move a little bit more upmarket with some of their product offering. How do you see that?
Hey, Mark. Look, the competitive activity is fairly aggressive at the moment, certainly in the two markets in which we operate, Queensland and Western Australia. As you know, with the general retail economic outlook, both those markets are a little bit soft to the rest of Australia as it goes through its cycle. So we are seeing, especially in Western Australia, quite a bit of below-the-line couponing within the marketplace. We are selectively countering that. It's important for us to make sure that we don't discount our core business. In Queensland, we are seeing some of it, but not quite as aggressive as Western Australia. I think on the top line, certainly I think Macca's with their Create Your Own. They're starting to cycle that. There's some mixed feedback as to the success of cycling that. Not entirely sure. I haven't got a clear picture on that. And from what I can see, is some of the other ones are just following along.
Okay. And just in terms of supporting the brands, what can you say about in terms of strategy going forward? And obviously, being successful in particular sporting formats, Big Bash, and that seems to be that game seems to be stepping up. How do you see your future promotion?
Yeah. Look. Certainly, the association of KC with cricket has been a success for us, and it is something that we will endeavour to keep. I think we have another 2 years left within the current contractual arrangement, and certainly there's a very strong association in consumers' perception between cricket and Cricket Summer and KFC. In conjunction with that, there has been a partnering with a number of the various TV campaigns, things like, you know, I'm a celebrity, get me out of that, and campaigning around those things. That's been really good for us. I think there's also been, apart from a recent promo where we sort of stepped out a little bit and tried some pulled pork, I think a lot of the innovation that we've been doing around our chicken core product has been really good. I mean, if you look at those, the Zinger Taco, I don't know how many of you guys had a Zinger Black. Great products, great innovation, especially things like the Zinger Black, you know, tremendous social media chatter around that particular product. Some of the advertising that we put on TV has probably moved a little bit more to some of the emotional aspect of it and storytelling. And I'm not sure if you guys remember the Plucker ad that was run earlier in the year, which really just reflects KFC on a broader brand perception. So I think overall there's a lot happening around the brand, particularly driven by the product innovation and the communication mechanism that we have in place.
Okay. Back on Sizzler, just in terms of Asia and the store openings, can you just tell us longer term how you see and what ambitions and return hurdles you might be looking for in terms of that part of the business, the Sizzler in Asia?
So the business in Asia for Sizzler is franchised. So we have two franchise partners up in Asia. One looks after Thailand and China, and the other one in terms of Japan. So we work closely with them in terms of, you know, the brand and supporting them operationally, and certainly working with them to find new sites. The brand is actually in quite a different place up in Asia. It's certainly in Thailand, it's in a very strong position, and it has really good growth, both in terms of top line and the openings. It is because of the lower labour cost. It is a full table service, so unlike Sizzler in Australia, where you have to sort of queue up at the register to order and then, you know, queue up and help yourself everywhere. It is a full table service. It's also a, Asia is a strong culture in terms of sharing and fresh fruit and fresh produce. So it does complement the eating up in Asia. And so it's in quite a different phase. It's probably more in its early stages of life cycle compared to where we currently sit with Sizzler Australia.
And you're happy with the returns there, or can you give us a comment about how you, obviously it's a low capital model, but just how you're thinking about the returns then going forward?
Yes, so for us, we have no capital invested in it. So it all sits with our franchisees. We have two individuals dedicated to that, and they work in supporting that business. So it operates as a totally sort of separate business, if you like, and generates really good cash for us.
Mm. And lastly, then, just in terms of Snag, just remind us about the format and obviously taking full control, just how you see that roll out from here then.
Snag Stand is a it is a startup. It is a unique proposition in terms of its offering. We spent the last 3 years in a joint venture with the founders. Both are really great guys, and Philip is a phenomenal creator of food products. However, I think now that it's come under our full control, it allows us to chase down the vision that we have for the brand. And so by bringing it into our control, you can see from the pictures in the presentation deck, the latest stand looks quite different from the previous iterations that we've had. And some of the research that we've had coming back out of that particular stand is enormously encouraging. So for us, we need to make sure that we get the brand positioning right, both in terms of the asset, but also in terms of the product offering, and we get the economics right. And then once we're comfortable with that, we will we'll look to open further stands, but not until we're comfortable.
Very good. All right, thank you for that.
Thanks,
Bob. As a reminder, it is just star one on your telephone to register your question. We'll just pause for a moment to allow any final questions to enter the queue. Your next question comes from Josh Kanarakis with Bellevue Holst. Please go ahead.
Hey guys, how are you?
Yeah, good, thanks Josh.
Good. Just a few questions. So first off, just on the labour and waste movements, can you just sort of run through that? I suppose more specifically to WA, what's sort of the, for your mind, what's the margin potential in that business still like in terms of, can you sort of quantify what you think out of those two things, labour and waste movements, that you can still extract in terms of margin potential from that network?
We haven't been specific as to what we can achieve in addition to what we have already. What I can say is that from a labour perspective, we've taken a more cautious approach at extracting the efficiencies and the productivities, and the reason for that is that you can pull out labour benefits fairly quickly, but you do impact the customer service. So for us, it's about how do we actually get the right mentality in terms of managing with a different labour model, and that does take some time. And so hence, 2 years in, we pulled a fair amount out of Western Australia. We still do have some to go. Look, Josh, at this point in time, we haven't sort of gone out and said what's still sort of remaining. We still expect a bit more.
Okay, that's okay. And another question on the efficiencies just related to the tandem driveways. Can you just give us a bit of an update on sort of what percentage of the network has those tandem driveways, what percentage have the ability to have those in, and just some of the metrics on, the uplift in sales potential from including those?
I think we've probably got about 15 or 20 across the system. So they are relatively expensive, so we tend to only put them in when we do sort of remodels. The key uplift from it, because it does cost us a little bit more labour in absolute terms, but not necessarily in terms of a percentage. The key uplift is the number of cars we can push through the drive-through. So under a normal single drive-through with a speaker pay and pick-up windows, we can probably get somewhere between 60 and 70 cars an hour through
yep.
there. By having a dual lane, and effectively that's it's a dual ordering sort of
yep.
bay, which is a bottleneck in the whole process, we can probably push up more towards 100 to 110 cars per minute. And so we during those peak times, we really can get more capacity through the store. And the interesting thing with the nature of our business is that if someone's driving down the road and they see the queue's too long for the drive-through, they just sort of keep driving. So for us,
yeah.
the quicker we can pull them through, the more we can capture the back of it.
And so how many sort of more sites do you think could accommodate those tandem driveways in your network?
I
know it's a bit of like half of them, or yeah.
Yeah, look, we've got probably about 80% of our system is drive-throughs, and I would have thought in time we would probably look to be north of half of that. Bearing in mind that some of the sites we have, you know, we've been on there 20 or 30 years and trying to fit in, you know, that the tandem is, or sorry, the dual can be a little bit challenging from a space perspective.
Yeah. Okay. And just on Sizzler as well, so obviously from a margin result was, you know, reasonably solid for that business and where it's come to. I mean, can you give us a bit of an outlook for sort of store shutdowns over the next couple of years? Are there any more expected, or are you comfortable with the footprint you've got for now?
Look, we haven't spoken about any further store shutting down. I think what we're trying to do at this point in time is to resolve the overall Sizzler Australia position. And then we will deal with individual restaurants on a restaurant-by-restaurant basis
yep.
if we start to have challenging economics out of them.
Okay. And just on the working cap, the negative working cap, can you just rehash? So is that full $4 million sort of payment, is that fully going to be reversed into this period or partially reversed? Or sorry, I just missed that. Came on to
yeah,
mind.
Yeah, that's okay, Josh.
Talking,
yeah, so it probably won't reverse fully and until 2 or 3 years' time. That's
yep.
partly because the way that the year-end works, and it's not
yep.
It's different to ours. So, yeah, you can't expect that back for a couple of years.
Okay, so I suppose just rolling in because, it, you know, obviously from a rolling into, say, a 17 year, though, would you expect the working cap still relatively to be positive rolling into that year versus this year?
Yeah, it's hard to say because there was a positive working capital upside this year from the actual payment of CapEx, so a little bit of that
yeah.
is wound up in there. So I don't think you can expect anything
okay.
particularly positive in 17.
Okay. So, yeah, slight negative across that period. And then also just on the payout ratio, so returning to, for the full group and NPAT, returning to like a sort of 55% payout ratio, is that sort of broadly where the board's sort of at the moment in terms of group payout ratios?
Yes, it sits around the 50%.
50
of NPAT, yeah.
Perfect.
So yeah, not this current dividend payout, but the ones going forward will include Western Australia and Northern Territory.
Yep, great. And sorry, just final question for me, and that's it. Just on the Big Bash side of things, like you mentioned that contract coming up, obviously there's some speculation out there that the cost of the rights has gone from, you know, what, 10 paid of sort of $20 million to up to sort of $60 million, so a pretty significant uplift. Has Yum given any indication in their willingness to hold on to those rights? You obviously mentioned that, but obviously given the significant step up in payment, is that still within ballpark to hold on to those rights in 2 years' time?
Yeah, look, we'll do everything we can to hold on to them. We have been a long-time partner with Cricket Australia. I think it goes
yep.
back sort of 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
So our relationship and is probably a little bit different to the broader sense that you get on the street.
Right. Okay, no, that's perfect. Okay, thanks, guys. Cheers.
Thanks, Josh.
Thanks, Josh.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect your lines.